Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ProWrestling.net Live. I'm Jason Powell, back with week two of our 2015 season, following another edition of WWE Raw. Well, I guess it's an upgrade over last week's, which was one for the ages in terms of just being a lousy show. And most of this show kind of fit right in with that. There were some weird Dean Ambrose skits and a lot of nonsense, but I thought when push came to shove with the contract signing, they did a pretty nice job of things. A couple of good segments on the show. Nothing particularly newsworthy, aside from the fact that it's finally happened. You guys can stop emailing me, and we can finally have a conversation about the WWE Hall of Fame candidates without hearing, he shouldn't be in if Randy Savage isn't in, because Randy Macho Man Savage is official. He is going into the WWE Hall of Fame. He will be inducted by Hulk Hogan, a man he had many ups and downs with over the years, so I found that to be an interesting choice by WWE. But curious to get your thoughts on that and so much more during the show. The phone lines are already filling up, but if you want to get in line, you can. 773-897-6321 is the number to call. Before we get into it, a quick heads up that tomorrow, right here, if you're listening on blogtalkradio.com, basically wherever you are hearing this, you will also hear about 20-25 minute interview that I conducted with MMA fighter turned New Japan Pro Wrestling color commentator Josh Barnett. I spoke with him shortly before the Raw pre-show went on the air, and so I just haven't had a chance to get that audio up for you guys, but it will be available to everybody on Tuesday. I enjoyed the conversation with Josh, and we talked about his role, what we can expect from that show, a little bit of Brock Lesnar and CM Punk talk in there, as you might imagine, and again, that is going to be available for everyone. Wherever you're hearing this, take a listen tomorrow, Tuesday, depending on when you're listening to this, I guess, but Tuesday, probably morning, afternoon sometime, that interview will be available. And I'll save the rest of the plugs for a little bit later in the show. I think we should just dive right into your phone calls tonight, and we are going to start with the 631 area code. 631, who are you? Where are you calling from?
Kyle from Long Island, New York.
Hey, how are you, man?
Good, how you doing?
I'm doing good, and thank you so much for passing along those TNA spoilers for those 3 days. I really appreciate that.
Oh, no problem. I have two major questions. One is, how do you think the induction of Hulk Hogan inducting Macho Man will be received, that his brother's not doing it?
Well, I don't know if Lanny is, if it's Hogan delivering the induction speech, kind of like, you know, he's the presenter, and then Lanny comes up and accepts on his brother's behalf. I'm not quite sure how that's going to. My guess is that Hogan is just a presenter. Does that answer it?
Oh, yes. And my other question is, what is wrong with both WWE and TNA that they feel like they have to do things that aren't meant for the product, like the authority line, a race? I'm lost for words.
Yeah, you attended those three shows. We won't get into spoilers here, just for those who are trying to avoid it. At least we'll try not to. I can't promise you Kyle's not going to slip with something. But, I just based on what I've seen on the first show alone, I was so disappointed on I guess it was Wednesday night, because I thought they opened the show in a great way. Not so much the brawl, none of that, but I just liked the slick video opening of the show. It felt new, and I was like, wow, maybe we are getting a new TNA. And then even like the build that they gave during the weeks leading up to the show to Lashley versus Rude 3, I felt was really strong. It felt like the three behind it and some of the black and white images they showed. It felt like kind of a showdown match. And so I was all fired up for that. And then I started seeing them tease the formation of yet another faction, and I'm like, well, it's TNA, and sometimes they do the swerve for the sake of swerving. And I thought maybe, just maybe, someone's going to stop those guys from interfering, and we'll actually get a good, clean main event. No, we didn't, and they just can't help themselves. And so, yeah, I just felt like it's right back to the same position for TNA. I just want them to deliver a no-nonsense wrestling show, and I don't even want to hear excuses that, well, this was the first show, and we had to set the table. No, the thing you needed to do was come out and deliver a good, memorable show, and then you can do all of your other nonsense later. I'd prefer they didn't, but at least people would be positive about TNA heading into the Friday night era, which they did promote on Raw tonight. As far as WWE and the Authority, Kyle, it can't end soon enough for me. It's just it's flawed. It feels repetitive. I mean, I feel like I'm watching a rerun now when these guys come out. And when Daniel Bryan talks about how he's going to try to do it again, I don't have those feelings. You know, it's just two different things. It's the Authority are stale. Daniel Bryan had the time away, and everything when the Authority are stale, that makes the entire show stale. It's not like just one wrestler who people are burned out on. We see the Authority so much on the show. They have their fingerprints on damn near everything. I don't know why they feel the need to go there. But anything else on your mind tonight?
Does it make it WWE? I feel like I care about the New Japan product, the New Japan wrestlers. I feel like you can't care about anybody in the WWE anymore. What's your opinion on that?
Well, I mean, it's tough when they don't know how to present Roman Reigns. I thought tonight was another big swing and a miss with him doing the fairy tale routine. I don't know that he has it as a performer on the mic at this point, but I also feel like it's hard to say when he's getting this awful material. Now, if he's coming up with this on his own, then we're in a tough spot. If this is like, here, read this, Roman, this is great material, man, I mean, it's so bad. I don't even know how else to say it. It's just what they're doing with him is lousy. Dean Ambrose is kind of the cool Pillman-esque character, if you will, but he's just got that attitude and swagger to him, and they put him in a bunch of silly skits with a doctor who ends up crying at the end. That's not good. I mean, really, what it comes down to tonight, the things I enjoyed about the show, the three guys, the three main players in the final segment, Paul Heyman and Brian, and I mean, the Savage induction was nice, but also Daniel Bryan's segment, and I don't even mind that he's facing Kane in his first match back. I think it's a logical choice. It's not a pay-per-view match. He has built-in heat with Kane, according to the storyline, so it's a good first match back for him. I just hope he plows through him, and we don't have to keep reliving that as they wanted us to after Daniel Bryan won that championship. So it's flawed execution. It's flawed booking right now by WWE that's it's really making it difficult for fans to get behind these characters.
Okay, thanks, Jason, and good luck watching the TNA shows.
Hey, Kyle, real quick on that, without getting into spoilers, does it get better?
They do. They shine a huge flame, like hope, and then they kill you.
That's kind of the TNA way, isn't it? Well, I shouldn't even blame them, because, I mean, that's kind of what WWE is doing as well.
Yeah. It was an amazing show. Amazing. Great. Probably one of the best shows I've been to Friday night. One segment killed everybody.
What a shame. And I know exactly what you're talking about. I appreciate you not mentioning what it is. We'll definitely get into more of that. Thank you for calling, Kyle. You can read all of his spoiler rundowns of those shows. They're available in our TNA news section at prowrestling.net. And Kyle did a great job of bringing us up to speed on everything that happened at the various tapings that they held. It wasn't just three shows. I think they crammed five into there or something like that. But Kyle did a great job with those. You can find out exactly what he's talking about with that momentum-killing moment of the third taping, or at least the third day of the taping. He spells it out pretty well. And without getting into what it was, I can only imagine. I mean, I can see why it would. And I can't wait to see the execution, even though I'm sure it'll be heavily edited. Again, if you want to join us tonight, 773-897-6321. I am Jason Powell. This is ProWrestling.net Live. We are live Monday, shortly after WWE Raw. And the only catch there is if WWE plays something big on the network, like a Vince McMahon interview. You know, just something on par with that. Otherwise, we're going to be doing this until the night after WrestleMania 31. So if you want to turn this into the WWE Raw wine line after a bad show, you're more than welcome to. Hopefully, we can get a little positivity, whether it's WWE-related or not. Anything pro-wrestling-related that you want to discuss is fair game. Can't promise you I'm catching everything, but I'm doing my best. And if you're listening live, I encourage you, jump on board the chat room. I guess I have some people in there now. Classic ROH, Hackman is in there, and Hollywood Johnny typing in some weird, all sorts of weird things in there. I don't know what he's going for, but he's in there too, and I'm sure they'd like to hang out with you tonight. So, again, the chat room is available if you are listening to this live on blogtalkradio.com, 10:30 Central, 11:30 Eastern on Mondays. Let's keep rolling through these phone calls. Up next, it's 323-323. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hi, it's Johnny from Hollywood. How are you doing this evening?
Hey, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Okay, first of all, you know, this an observation from Impact last week. From a TV viewer. Of course, I was coming in, you know, I was like very hopeful that they would put on a good show, and it was good pretty much with the exception of the ending. But like the event that really had me was when they had that knockouts battle royal, and I'm not talking about the Kong moment. That was pretty cool. But before that, they had bromance in the ring, and. And then they were promoting the whole Robbie E's returning. And I thought that TNA did a very good job of doing these YouTube videos where he said there's a side of Robbie E you haven't seen and that he was going to go after the world championship and, try to break out as a main eventer. And when he went out to that crowd, the crowd was behind them. They were chanting Robbie, Robbie, Robbie. And then he started going into bro-man mode, and then you just hear the crowd go, That was my moment.
You're absolutely right on that. I mean, you nailed it. I mean, you walked us right through it, and that's exactly what happened. And I felt the same way when I saw that black and white video they did with Robbie E on their website. I'm thinking, good, they're finally going to give. You know, no guarantee that Robbie E works as like a singles baby face or whatever they were going to try to do with him, or whatever I thought they were going to try to do with him based on that video. But it has to be better than this. How many years too late, Jersey Shore knockoff or whatever it is these guys are doing, the tired, when I think about kind of the lame duck era of TNA on Spike TV, that's what I think of. All I have to do is hear, and I'm like, oh, yeah, lame duck period for TNA. And for them to go right back to that, it was like, okay, it's a setup. Robbie's going to beat these guys down, and he's going to be his own man, and maybe it's going to cause them to do something different. Cool. But it's worse even, Johnny, because they put the beautiful people with them.
He's in that cute kid position that, Billy Gunn was in a couple of years ago.
It's so weird. Yeah, I don't understand why they feel the need to do this. Why it just move on from this act. I think those guys have some potential. For a guy who had the Big Brother, I think it was, background, Jesse Godders has impressed me. I mean, he's not going to win Wrestler of the Year anytime soon, but for a guy who's come from that background, he's done a nice job. And I think you can keep those guys together. I mean, I would like to see them do something different with DJZ, Zima Ion, get him away from them and knock off that awful sound effect. But I do think that even if they want to keep Robbie E and Jesse together, fine, just knock off the bromance stuff and all the bro talk and just all of that. Get them away from the beautiful people and just let them be more than opening match fodder. I know they put the tag titles on them once before, but they never felt to me like they were anything more than opening match tag team. They just because of that bad gimmick.
But that's sort of the MO of TNA anyway. Like they'll show you some hope, like they did with AJ Styles at one point. And I even said they even, did a good job even, making us like Jeff Jarrett with his comedy thing back in the day. But then they always, anything that they do that seems pretty good, they always, seem to pull the rug under the fans afterwards. Okay, just roll off TNA. Let's get back to WWE. I want to just look past the Rumble a little bit. What I wanted to talk about was the U.S. title. And if they decide to go with John Cena losing at the Rumble and presumably going against Rusev, having him capture the United States Championship at Mania, do you think they'll have him carry that belt for a long time, maybe have him trade the belt with a babyface like Orton or something like that to build enough equity and maybe this build up an up-and-coming rookie to chase after John Cena with the U.S. title?
Seeing is believing. I want to see if that match does come to fruition. If Cena wins it, they may try to portray it as a big deal. At the time, once it's over with, I don't know. I mean, Johnny, would it shock you if they just went into WrestleMania and said, it's Cena versus Rusev and there's no U.S. championship on the line? Just implying like this is beneath Cena. I mean, that just seems to be the way they do things.
Of course, it wouldn't surprise me. The only reason they gave me hope, and this is from a personal experience, when I went to, it was SummerSlam 2009, when they actually did a pretty decent job with the mid-card title for this. What I was talking about was they had a Night of Champions right before SummerSlam, and SummerSlam was in L.A., so I was there. And what you had was Rey Mysterio. What they did was he said he was going to be the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. They fed him a couple main eventers, so he built up the equity with a belt. Then they had a rookie Dolph Ziggler come after him, where he had Rey Mysterio saying, and then it was a pretty, it was some of Rey's best promos that I ever saw, where he would say, like, he said, Dolph, like, you know, you're not even in my league. Why are you in here? And then Dolph, you know, came close in the Night of Champions. And when I was at SummerSlam, it was a pretty interesting, because Los Angeles and Southern California was Rey Mysterio country. So when Dolph Ziggler, you know, like, comes in, you know, he gets, like, a good amount of booze at the beginning. Then what he does is he turns it around. He kicks out of the West Coast, you know, the 619 West Coast Pop combination, and then the crowd just goes wild for Ziggler. And, of course, Rey Mysterio gets the win in the end by stealing one, you know, like a Hurricanrana roll-up, I forget. And of course, that whole storyline, you know, that whole storyline messed up because Mysterio failed a, what he called, a drug suspension. But I felt like at that time, they got that storyline right. So do you think they could do, of course, Cena's a different character than Mysterio, but do you think they could pull that storyline off with Cena in the position?
Could they? Sure. If they had the right guy to work with him, will they? I just don't trust Vince McMahon to show John Cena looking vulnerable enough. Maybe I'm not giving him enough credit. Who is there, whether it's on the WWE roster or someone on the NXT roster, just someone realistic you would like to see in that role?
Not sure. You can't just stay in, I don't think. Maybe Adrian Neville.
That's the tough part here, is I'm not seeing, like, this heel that's ready to, you know, no one's jumping out at me as, like, that's the guy you bring up. It doesn't have to be a heel. It can be somebody that's, you know, gives a handshake to and a pat on the back for a job well done, even if he beats him clean. It's just a really good competitive match or something. Like I say, though, man, it's seeing is believing with the way they book John Cena. Cena may want to take that approach, but we hear that a lot out of John Cena, and then we see what we saw with him and Bray Wyatt, and, well, he got elevated because he worked with Cena at WrestleMania, and, yeah, I'm still waiting for that elevation personally. But anything else tonight, Johnny?
Let's see, and this is another observation from Raw. They need to stop giving Roman Reigns the microphone. When I saw him walk out to the ring, I just said, keep the mic away from him, Big Show. Not like throw the mic away, or like punch out a mic or something or a speaker, because he's coming to the ring and he's going to tell us a children's story again.
It's bad, man. It really is. I don't know. Like I say, I hope to find out if this is, like, I assume he's just being given material. I don't think they trust him to go out there and wing it. I kind of wish they would trust him, but if this is a sign of that, which I doubt, then, okay, write his material. I missed the Roman Reigns we saw in the Shield. You know, I've mentioned this before, but it bears repeating that this was a guy that had the one cool line at the end of every Shield promo, and it worked like a charm. And maybe you can't do that, you know, just have a guy who's kind of a one-line guy out there in, you know, slotted to be your next big thing. I understand that. But if he's not capable of doing that, of doing more than that right now, then stick with what was working. And work on it at the house shows, and don't force feed this. You know, I'm on record saying I don't think they've really force fed Roman Reigns as much as people believe they have. Yes, him winning Superstar of the Year was ridiculous, whether it was legit voting or not. Even if it was legit, I would have worked it because I just don't think that people, by and large, saw him as, like, the right guy. I think there was enough people rolling their eyes, going, "Oh, this is too much." I thought the 90-second or 30-second via satellite stuff was silly, but it's people have pointed out to me he's not losing matches. Well, he shouldn't be losing matches considering the position he's in, but he shouldn't be winning so many matches by DQ. You know, and it's just, I don't feel like they're doing an effective job with him. I think there's a way to keep him strong, yet not put this deadline on it that he needs to be over in time for WrestleMania, because I just don't think he's the guy. I hope something, if they go all the way with him at the Royal Rumble and decide he's the guy that's going to challenge at WrestleMania, I think seeing is believing. I do believe Daniel Bryan's the guy. Maybe that's just wishful thinking on my part, but I just don't think he's ready for it, and I hope he somehow proves us wrong. I hope that they flip the switch, and it's like, wow, where has this guy been? But right now, that's just it. You know, if he's that guy, we're not seeing it right now. At least I don't feel that way. If you guys feel differently, the number is 773-897-6321. I'll just say, I'll be honest, guys, I hope you're behaving yourselves in the chat room tonight. I can't make it out. I usually, for some reason, I've always opened Safari for this show. I finally made the conversion over to Chrome, which I've been using for the longest time anyway, but for some reason, like with Blog Talk stuff, I just left it alone, and now everything shows up in funky symbols. So unless you guys are all just having a bunch of fun, which I accused Johnny of earlier, thinking like, what the hell? Well, there's Johnny writing, what is this gibberish? So maybe you guys are just having fun. I'm not sure. But some of it shows up normal. Others it shows up bizarre. Maybe it's a problem with Block Talk. I don't know. It's just maybe it's a big coincidence. The night that I finally make the full transition over to Chrome, this happens. Let's keep rolling through the phone calls, though. Let's up next is 270. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason. This is Tyler England calling again from Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Hey, Tyler, this time I'm going to know you're from Bowling Green, Kentucky, and not assume you said somewhere over in England. Good to hear from you, man.
Hey, man, I just had a real straightforward question. Do you think there's any possibility that Rollins walks out of the Rumble with the championship?
I do. You know, I haven't sat down, and I'll put my full predictions out there, you know, as we get closer to the Rumble. But I think it's for all the reasons that most people see, is that, okay, if Brock Lesnar is going back to MMA, then do they want to go all the way to WrestleMania with Brock Lesnar as champion? Do they want to run the risk of Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar 2 scenario where the fans just turn on Lesnar and it's not because he's the heel, it's because he's leaving? Do they risk that, or do they take the title off him at the Rumble? And I just don't know the answer. If it were me, I would go all the way with Brock Lesnar and Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. That would be my main event. It would be for the World Heavyweight Championship. And then, if you don't want just a repeat scenario of last year's WrestleMania, which I don't think is a bad thing. I think there's a better story to tell there with Daniel Bryan anyway. But if they're just, for whatever reason, Vince McMahon goes, we can't do that 2 years in a row, well, then have Seth Rollins cash in there at WrestleMania. I believe that would be the first time it's ever been done, and it would kind of set the stage. And the nice thing about Rollins, whether he wins it at the Rumble, wins it at WrestleMania, or just any time in between or shortly thereafter, and I'm even fine with the night after WrestleMania if they want to take that approach, he's got so many built-in opponents. Randy Orton, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns. I mean, it's just, you can go down the list of people that his character has pissed off at one time or another. So what do you think? What's your prediction right now in the Triple Threat match?
Well, as much as I would love to see Rollins win it, I mean, I've always been a huge fan of the guy. I mean, I've always thought he was just an amazing performer, and, you know, still to this day, he improves every week. I'm still kind of with you. I think we're going to see Lesnar retain, and I think we're going to get Bryan in the main event of WrestleMania. I really just don't see any other way that it could play out without pissing off the fans at this point.
Yeah, that's the key. I just, you know, they were willing to piss off the fans last year until it just got to the point where they couldn't run the risk anymore with that whole Batista mess. So, I mean, it's who knows what's going through Vince McMahon's mind these days. I mean, you watch the show, I don't get a good feel for it. I'm kind of afraid to know what's going through Vince McMahon's head right now, but I hope you're right. Did you have more for us tonight?
I think that was it, man. That was just question that's kind of been lingering in my mind since they announced the match last week. So.
Hey, very cool. I appreciate the call from .NET member Tyler England. I saw his name come through recently, and I appreciate the membership, as I do for everybody that takes advantage of our membership deals. $7.50 is our 1 month rate, but want to save you a little money. You can get a price break at 6 months of .NET membership, and you can also get 1 year of .NET membership. It breaks down to $5.50 a month is what it breaks down to if you go that annual option. It is an ad-free version of the website. You get to enjoy all the perks of membership on your iPhone or Android phone once you sign up for membership. It's all right there for you. Like I said, the ad-free version of the website, there's a great group of people in the members forum that you can correspond with, and they don't make a bunch of weird symbols, so then now that they say that, they will, just to mess with me. But it won't be that bad, I promise you. But a really good group of people in there, and so if you want to talk wrestling with people who aren't going to make you feel like you're new here, so you're an idiot, you don't have to worry about that. Really good group in there in the .NET members forum. You'll hear the .NET weekly audio show. I had to skip last week's because my girlfriend was ill on Friday, and so we're going to double up this week, and hell, maybe even next week with the Royal Rumble approaching. .NET weekly audio show is the flagship show of ProWrestling.net. We discuss, oftentimes have first run news items on the show, and at least one of those parts this week will be co-hosted by Zach Zimmerman, who, as you guys know, if you've been listening, was in Japan for in the weeks leading up to the New Japan Tokyo Dome show. He was there in person. We'll talk about the 18 shows in 19 days or whatever it was that Zach saw in person while he was in Japan. I'm looking forward to talking about that with him, and then definitely get his thoughts on the TNA show, their return to Destination America, all the news of the week, Randy Savage, and so much more. Again, membership rates start as low as $5.50 a month if you take that annual option. For all the details on that, visit the main page of ProWrestling.net, and you can't miss the sign-up area. And once you're in there, it'll just take you a matter of minutes. We'd love to have you as a member. We work very hard and would definitely appreciate, even if it's you just want to try us out for a month and see if it's for you, that's very cool. And you'll have, by the way, access to all of our audio content, anything we've ever done, right there for the members. So just get in there and dive in, and you can listen to just hours and hours of audio content. Show reviews of the major television shows, including TNA, Destination America's debut. I did that one. Zach Zimmerman does weekly NXT audio shows, so if you hear them sometime on the free side of things and go, hey, I like that, why isn't it every week? It is. It's just a perk for .NET members that they hear it every week. Sometimes you guys get it on the free side of things, you know, from time to time. And also the .NET Countdown Show with Jake Barnett and Will Pruitt. Really great dynamic with those guys. I definitely recommend checking that out once you sign up for membership. But having gotten that plug out of the way, again, all the details available at ProWrestling.net. Have any questions, hit me up on Twitter, at ProWrestlingNet. Leave the dot out of that one, at ProWrestlingNet. But now that we have all the business stuff out of the way, let's keep rolling through your phone calls. Let's now go to 248. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Jason, come on. You know me.
My God, he's back. I was so worried about you, Rabbit. You were not the second caller last week, and then I didn't see you on the phone line this week. Oh, my life is complete. Rabbit is back. Rabbit, I haven't talked to you. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year, Jason. I had a couple things for you that I thought I would, I thought you might want to hear a story on Macho Man.
As long as it's not too long, we'll see where it goes, Rabbit. Give me the short version if you can.
In 1980, I was living in California, and Bobby Heenan had given me some press passes. And that's when it was WWF. And Macho Man was the champion at the time. And he was wrestling against the Iron Sheik for the title in San Francisco at a house show at the Cow Palace. I was backstage. I was backstage a lot. Hogan was the main event that night, and he was wrestling. He was doing the Tonight Show. So the match before that was for the Intercontinental title. And he was defending the title. I was down by the front, and I heard him tell him that Hogan had just come in on the plane, and they told him to stall till Hogan did his TV interviews. Then they told him to go ahead and do the finish. At that point, Randy Savage called the ref over. His name was Frank Nassetti. He was kind of heavy guy. Randy called the ref over. Iron Sheik put the camel clutch on Randy. He was getting Randy to concede. Randy called the ref closer. Hit him in the balls, got disqualified, kept the title. And I went stage just after that happened. And backstage they were congratulating each other for a great match.
Well, cool.
But,
is that the story? I kept waiting for like
yeah,
the big punchline. I got
he,
locked in the
and,
same room as Elizabeth. It was phenomenal. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Him and Elizabeth and the Iron Sheik were congratulating each other backstage and having such a great match.
Did the Sheik humble him?
No.
Well, that's
no,
good.
They were,
that sounds like
know,
a nice
were,
story.
Of course. They were like goofing around backstage. But the point was that it was an interesting experience having press passes and being allowed to go backstage and being behind the scenes. Couldn't do that these days.
It's you know in WWE, you're right. I mean, they do allow some people back there. It's they're a little bit tougher nut to crack when it comes to that sort of thing. But there are some exceptions. So you know, keep that in mind. Maybe someday, somewhere down the road, you can get another press pass and just see how much things have changed. But Rabbit, what else you got for me tonight?
Another thing I wanted to tell you was I like Lana's promo tonight. She was really good in what she said. You know, she's really getting Rusev out there and trying to promote Rusev. And I just like what she's doing. What about you?
I definitely do. Yeah, Lana's very good at what she does. And I have fun. I look forward to it's one of the things, like some of the live events can be a little repetitive, you know, when you start getting the reports on the same shows. But I do look forward at least, you know, once during the weekend to getting a report on, you know, if they include it in what Lana said to the crowd. Because she tends to shake it up a little bit, or even if it, I don't know, there's just something about it, like reading someone describe it and then picturing her saying it, that still makes me laugh. I think she really does a great job behind the stick.
Yeah, when this thing ends with Rusev, if it ever does, they got to do something with her and keep her doing that shtick because she's just too good at what she does to ruin her and put her into something else. I don't want to see her wrestle. I like her on the stick. You know, don't put her in the ring. She ain't no wrestler. She's definitely great on the mic. That was my big point.
Yeah, don't pull Maria Kanellis.
Huh?
Don't pull up Maria Kanellis. I was always someone who thought they had something with Maria, and then they felt the need that she needs to be a wrestler, and they put her in the ring before she was ready, and just the appeal was gone. It didn't click once they did that. There's just some women that, hey, if she has that desire and they take their time with it, cool. But, I mean, otherwise, no, I just don't think that every female in the business, or male for that matter, I mean, I don't need to see Paul Heyman wrestling either, obviously. So I just think there's some exceptions. You know, not everyone has to be a trained wrestler, and they can still play a valuable role, just as, Stephanie McMahon once did. I think it's counterproductive now, and Vicky Guerrero once did. So I'm with you there. And as far as Rusev goes and when this thing ends, that's why a big part of me doesn't want to see John Cena and Rusev at WrestleMania because I don't want it to end. Especially if Brock is leaving, I really believe Rusev can be built up, maybe not to be at Brock Lesnar's level, but he can still be a badass heel for WWE. And I don't know that – I'm not saying like losing to Cena would completely derail that, but I just don't see why you would put him in that position at this WrestleMania. It may make sense in the now. I don't think it makes sense in the future. I would protect him, Rabbit.
They have to protect him because you kill him. They killed Bray Wyatt. They killed everybody Super Cena's ever wrestled against. They killed the heat of whoever he wrestled. Cena is the epitome of the WWE. You put him against anybody, and their heat's gone. Their whole gimmick, everything is shot, and that's my personal opinion. I haven't seen anybody keep their heat against Cena.
Yeah, you're not going to get a whole lot of argument from me there.
I take it back.
Yeah.
The Rock. It was The Rock, but any mid card guy that he went against that had any kind of a rep, they went against Cena, and they lost all respect. And it was like they were a joke 5 minutes after they were with Cena.
Well, you're not,
you know,
like
maybe
I say,
I'm wrong
in
saying that, but that's what I believe.
I think we could find a couple of examples, but no, I don't think you're far up. I think it's one of the problems of seeing it, something he's been – I think, you know, he certainly made statements that he wants to elevate people, and that's great. I just think there are times when he could have done a more effective job in that, and I think he has enough clout and stroke that he could see to it that it happens. I think there have been too many bad promos where he undercuts the person that he's supposedly trying to put the spotlight on. I think he just undersells things that happen to his character, and some of that may be direction as well. But no, Rabbit, you're not going to get a whole lot of argument from me. Even though I'm not a John Cena hater, I think there's a lot of positives about John Cena, but I think he and WWE could work harder to make sure that his opponents shine more often than they do. But hey, I mean, he lost to Rollins again, albeit in a lumberjack match. But it was something. But anything else tonight, Rabbit?
Speaking of that, what you just said, again, same situation. He's a new Hogan. I mean, with one difference, Hogan put people over. Cena never puts them over.
Who did Hogan put over? I mean, he had Savage, and I mean, there were a couple here and there, but I also remember the Billy Kidmans, and oh, yeah, he put him over in a big way, and Kidman got nothing out of it.
Oh, I guess that's true, too. But I remember Hogan putting all these big, giant villains over, and they would come in, and Hogan would lose to him and lose to him, then they get their title shot.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So just build them up beforehand. Yeah, Cena could be it.
Hey, yeah,
you're right on that.
Yeah, do you know the Cena I liked? The Cena I loved that I thought was fun was the chain gang. I thought that was pretty cool. The rapping Cena.
Heelish John Cena, basically.
Yeah, that Cena was okay. If they brought that Cena back, that would freshen him up. Now, I guess people probably tell me I'm crazy for saying that, but that's my opinion.
Oh, they'll tell you you're crazy for a lot of things other than that, Rabbit.
But I'm glad to be back. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm kicking. And I'm back on .net. I'm back, and I'm proud to be back. And I got one last thing to say before I hang up.
Make it a quick one, Rabbit. We got a lot of callers tonight, bud.
Okay. Jason.
Oh, no.
To Mother Russia. This is Lana. Come to Mother Russia and meet Alexander Pulkin.
I think Rabbit is he's doing a preview of The Americans, which will be returning to FX later this month. I think that's what he was going on. It is good to hear from Rabbit. We just haven't heard from him as much. I know he had some medical stuff going on. He had a death in the family, so I was legitimately worried about our good buddy Rabbit. He definitely adds some flavor to the show. And, he's right on Cena. I misunderstood what he was saying, though, or Hogan, because Hogan really would do a lot of selling for the giant types. You know, he was the Dragon Slayer, and when the Dragons would come in, they would get the better of Hogan. And we don't see that enough from John Cena, and there have been times where when we have, John Cena doesn't sell it effectively. And, again, I don't know how much of that is just it's Cena and how much of it is Vince McMahon wanting him to no-sell certain things that happened to him. I mean, we've seen John Cena lose matches and just basically be all smiles and shrug his shoulders the next night. And it's like, that's not helping anyone, including John Cena. And that's the most frustrating part. If he were, he could have longer programs with different people or could have had over the years had there been just more selling of what actually happened to him. But Rabbit, it was good to hear from you, except for, and FX thanks you for that wonderful plug for The Americans coming back on FX. That's what he was doing, right? That couldn't have been Lana. No. Let's go to 203. You are up next. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason. It's Lewis from Connecticut.
Hey, how are you tonight?
Hey, good, man. How are you?
I'm great, man. Who won the national championship? Are we going
to
get a flood of calls after this?
42-20.
Wait a minute. The team that the Minnesota Golden Gophers only lost to by 7 points is the national champions.
Yep. So this is the first time that this tournament actually paid off because they would have never made it to the NCAA championship.
Well, don't tell that to whoever was number 5 because they're going to be even more bitter. But, yeah, no, I mean, this is not to get too far off into college football because I know people aren't calling to listen to that, but that's been the thing with me. Like, yeah, the ball system, it's great if your team's in it, but this computer picks the number one and two team, whatever. Get a real playoff system. And I think four teams is a start. I'd like to see it go a little deeper, but I think every time you do, there's somebody going, it should be even deeper. So four teams is definitely a start. Congratulations, Buckeye fans. Happy to hear that. The Big Ten got the win.
Yes, they did. My first question was, as the Macho Man's in the Hall of Fame, who do you feel should follow him? Who should be the next people that deserve to be in that aren't in?
Oh, boy. You know, I've just heard that one so many times over the years. A couple of names that come to mind for me, the Freebirds. I'm fine if they wait until they go to Dallas, if they do the WrestleMania at the Jones Mahal, the Cowboy Stadium, AT&T Park or Stadium, whatever it's called. I would love to see the Midnight Express get in and Jim Cornette. I don't know that it's going to be something politically that's ever going to happen. I know those aren't exactly WWE-type names, but did Demolition ever go in? It seems odd. I mean, we're hearing them mentioned.
No, Demolition isn't in either.
Yeah, that's one act that jumps out. I'm probably forgetting a bunch. But, I mean, how about you? Is there somebody else that jumps out that I'm forgetting?
Yeah, well, I'm not a WWE guy either, but maybe, like, Bruiser Brody or, like, even I thought Luke Thez was in, but Luke Thez isn't even in.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, they definitely need – there's some of those older names that they do definitely need to get in there, especially when you're going 6-7 deep, and even if it's, like – you don't – it's – I mean, the time has passed for those guys to headline, obviously. But there's some people that – I mean, the limo driver got in, for God's sake, if they can find room. You know, that was always the thing for Randy Savage. You put the limo driver in or not Randy Savage. It'll be interesting to see, though, who becomes that next consensus of the online fan. Who is it that is being completely wronged and deserves a spot in the Hall of Fame now that it's not Randy Savage? I'm guessing – someone will step up. Maybe it'll be a split vote, but good question. I'll have to do a little bit of research on that and kind of refresh my memory as to who is in and who is not in. But that was the big one. And if anybody else out there, when you're calling in, you can feel free to mention somebody if I'm forgetting. But, yeah, I'd like to see Brody, especially since they put in Carlos Colon, for God's sake. They should definitely have room for Bruiser Brody. I don't know how his family would feel about it now, but I'm not even sure. They might be just fine with it. But was that it for you tonight? Or did you have a little bit more for me, Lewis?
Just one more question. It sucked again tonight, but WrestleMania scenario, I think Sam Roberts actually said this, but it actually made a lot of sense. It was Daniel Bryan wins the Rumble, Cena wins the Triple Threat match. So you get Cena and Bryan at WrestleMania, and then you can still do Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania also.
I love Sam. I just don't – I don't know. There's something about Daniel Bryan and John Cena that doesn't grab me. Not at this year's WrestleMania. And I can't even say it won't happen. You know, they may look at that as, okay, you get the best of both worlds. You get the internet fans, and then you get the WWE casual fans. And I don't know. There's something about Mania. Give me the heel versus babyface dynamic, and I'm not sitting here thinking that John Cena is going to turn anytime soon or anything like that. So, you know, just a personal preference. I'd rather see Daniel Bryan, Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Was that it?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, that was it.
Well, it's good to hear from you, Lewis. I appreciate the phone call, and hope to hear from you again. If you want to join us tonight, we're making sure we've got about five people on the line, and we'll still be able to take more. If the national championship game is just ending, as he indicated, you might want to get in now. 773-897-6321, because sometimes that thing ends, and then we get people that were watching both, calling in afterward, and all of a sudden the phone lines will be filled up again. Or, even worse, is when, well, I didn't watch Raw tonight, but if they want to talk about something else, that's great. But when they start asking me, so what happened with this segment doesn't make for great radio, does it? We'll just hang up on those people. Let's go to 352. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Steve from Florida. How are you?
Good, Steve. Nice to hear from you again.
And I'll just throw this name out there. What about Sid Vicious for the Hall of Fame?
Wouldn't be on my list. It's WWE Hall of Fame, so if they want to put Sid Vicious in their Hall of Fame, fine. I just, I don't know. There's something. Sid just never lived up to potential. I mean, I guess if you go to the argument, well, Coco Beware's in and the limo driver's in, then why not Sid? Okay, why not Sid? But it doesn't jump out at me as like, yeah, he belongs in that Hall of Fame.
What about King Kong Bundy?
For a guy who's headlined WrestleMania and meant a lot during those, the early WrestleMania years, or, is it enough to headline Mania and big part of the Heenan family and all that, I just assume, like, there's something politically keeping him out. I don't know what it is. I don't know that he did himself any favors by hinting or teasing that he was going into the Hall of Fame, and then it turned out to be some other Hall of Fame right at the same time they were inducting people. I don't know if that'll come back to haunt him. They may not even care. But if he got in just – I guess it's based on the fact that he headlined a Mania with Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 2. There's something about – I know Sid did as well, but it just – that wasn't a great, memorable Mania. And frankly, 2 was a big disappointment, but it's still an early Mania. I don't know. There's just something about – Sid that's not jumping out at me. Do you feel strongly otherwise? Do you feel like Sid belongs?
No, I was just throwing – I mean, I was just throwing a name out there that, had some recognition. I just wanted –
Sure.
I don't feel strong to the way.
How about Bundy?
Bundy, I do, because I think he had an impact on Hogan and WrestleMania. And, he had some mainstream appeal with a memorable guest spot on Married with Children. I think he was like Peg's relative or something. But
you're right. Yeah, he was. I can't remember the town that Peg was from now. God, now I'm going to have to go back and watch every Married with Children like a lunatic on Netflix. I did that for Cheers not too long ago and had a blast. It's one of those where those 20-minute shows are great on Netflix because you'll sit up like, I'm just going to watch one, and then, 2 hours later, you're still watching and going, one more. They're great for that. Married with Children would be perfect for it. I can't remember what town Peg was from, but yeah, I think he was like a cousin or a brother. You're absolutely right.
Wanker County.
Thank you. Yeah. Was he uncle, cousin, brother? Do you remember?
That I don't remember. My memory is too far gone, but the other thing I wanted to bring up, what about the idea of if you do Brock versus Brian at WrestleMania and you have Brock actually go over?
If Brock is staying, I can live with that. Yeah, because, a big part, and I know people that are huge, big Brian fans aren't going to want to hear that, but I would be okay with it because I don't mind seeing Daniel Bryan, still slotted in that underdog role. I think there's a way to do it where he really looks good, but he just happened to lose the match. And then also, you've already given Brock Lesnar Undertaker streak. And so, that's a big thing to me, is I want to see them find a way to justify that decision. And if Brock Lesnar leaves and goes back to MMA and drops the title on his way out, and I'm just going to look at that and go, wow, what a mistake. I don't care if it was, it's the tradition, the guys, he does the honors on the way. No, I don't think that was it got people talking that night, but I just don't feel like it was a good move. I would have had no problem with Taker leaving undefeated. But in this case, yeah, I could live with that. I don't think Daniel Bryan would lose much. I think fans would rally behind him even more, assuming the type of match they would have and just how good he would look in the process of losing. I'd be fine with that.
I would, too, especially if it led to the redemption at WrestleMania 32.
Yeah, heck, and we could get 3 years of Daniel Bryan in the main event of WrestleMania. Wouldn't the McMahon family love that? Hopefully they've turned the corner on this. They certainly did in time for last year's WrestleMania, but seeing the way he was booked coming out of it before he got hurt really left me wondering, do they want this guy to succeed? The program with Kane and then it sounded like they were already making plans to have him lose to Brock by the time he even won the championship, so yeah. But anything else tonight?
That's it. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, man. Good to hear from you again. Let's see here. We'll probably go over a little bit tonight. As I've said, the plan is for the show to be an hour long, and there's going to be some time, so, where I block it out for 90. If it's a big night, we'll take a ton of calls, and we may go 90. And then there's going to be other nights where we go right on that just about the 60-minute mark. Let's see. I want to make sure we get to everybody. I'm not skipping anybody. Doesn't look like I am. I think, let me see here. Did I get the 208 earlier? I don't think I did. Let's try. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. We'll find out together. 208, who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason. It's Taylor from Indiana.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing okay, Jason. How is your girlfriend?
Oh, much better. It's just, you know, just a flu, miss work kind of deal, and she got better and was crabby, so I went to the bar all day on Saturday with the buddies from my fantasy football league. We always make it out for one of the Saturdays of playoff football, and she was feeling good enough that her and her niece came and picked me up. So life is good. Thank you for asking.
I'm glad to hear it. I just wanted to ask you, I mean, it's kind of a broad, vague question, but did you get the sense at all tonight that the plans were changing as it pertains to the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania?
I would go back to last week and ask that question when they added Rollins to the main event of the Royal Rumble. I just wonder if that plays into something that they're doing here, whether it's, well, if Lesnar's leaving, we don't want Cena just to lose this feud and we want to keep the title on Brock, or they've made a call to go with Rollins instead. You know, whatever the case may be, that I would think that addition to the match, which I don't believe was planned from the start, like, well, we'll bring the Authority back, then we'll announce it. I haven't heard anything like that. So I would think it probably, if there has been any change, it probably goes back to last week when those calls were made, or, you know, when they actually took place on the show.
Okay. I mean, I did want to, Daniel Bryan is scripted, right?
I think he's a guy that probably gets the bullet points because I know there have been times when he's reached out to other guys for a little bit of help with promos and things of that nature. So, yeah, I don't think he's here it is word for word. Now, if it's an in-ring exchange with somebody, well, that might be different just depending on who he's in there with. If it's Stephanie, it may be very scripted. But if he's just out there, I think there are times when he gets to put things in his own words.
Okay, because I did notice he was the first babyface to say he was going to win the Royal Rumble. And it just, you know, that strikes me as interesting. So,
you know, what struck me as more interesting is that he got to put down Stephanie's workout DVD. I mean, it was one thing for her to go out there and kind of work it into the act and work in the plug, and then he just mocks the idea of, oh, I don't remember what he said, but you'll get a better workout from doing something than that video. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's a... I don't know if that was a little Daniel Bryan improvisation or if that was a scripted line, but I liked it either way.
I hope for his sake he got it approved.
Me too, because even if he was winning the Rumble, who knows with them? Maybe he's not anymore.
I mean, I don't want to put down Roman Reigns so much. Overall, I was pretty positive about that Raw. So you're not going to. This isn't the complain line for me tonight. I did want to ask you one more thing. Do you think that it's the possibility of Roman Reigns versus Dean Ambrose at WrestleMania? One of them heel?
Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose. So, I mean, you're not talking like a main event type of scenario. You're talking just a straight up match somewhere on the card with those guys?
Yeah, that's obviously not going to be a main event, no.
Right, okay. And who did you say was the heel there?
I'm not exactly sure. Both guys have lost a lot of steam to where you could turn either of them and it would work. So,
well, you know, it's interesting they brought them back together for the SmackDown show that aired on Friday, the last of the Friday shows. If we start to see more of them together, then, yeah, my guard will probably go up that, you know, maybe they're just, if it's a short-term thing, fine. But anytime you see them kind of rebuilding that bond, you got to wonder, are they doing it for a reason so they can split them up and feud? At this point, you know, they may need to go with Reigns as a heel at some point down the road. I just don't think it's now. I don't feel like it's – if they're going to go all the way with him at WrestleMania, then yes. But I don't know. I'd like to think that cooler heads have prevailed and they just see the guy still has shortcomings and there's just, quite frankly, not enough time between now and WrestleMania to really make this work for him as a babyface. So I don't know who the I just don't know – how they get to that match. I don't mind the idea of a Shield three-way, you know, triple threat match between those guys. I mean, that's something I've thrown out there, I think it was last year, for a match then. I don't want to see, because somebody on the live cast brought up the idea of doing that as like the main event of the show for the championship, and I wasn't crazy about that. I number one, it's a triple threat in the main event of WrestleMania. I'm not fond of that idea at all. But again, especially 2 years in a row, but I think you can do that match, and it'll mean a lot on the card. And it doesn't need, you know, it would be bigger with the championship, sure, but I just don't think that match sells Mania as the main event of the show. And I think that's the problem with it. Did I answer your question in some weird roundabout way? It's getting late.
Yes, you pretty much did. I mean, I don't think any of the Shield guys, maybe Rollins, are hot enough to where they could main event Mania at this point. But maybe that's just me. Maybe you see something in Reigns I don't see. So.
No, I'm with you. As much as I like Seth Rollins, I think he's doing a hell of a job. I mean, could he go in there and tear the house down in the ring? Yes. That's not the question, though. It's, you know, are people going to pay to see Seth Rollins headline WrestleMania this year? And, I think they're closer to than they are with Roman Reigns. You know, I think there's a way to build up Rollins in a big way, but I don't think I'd make him the guy this year either. I know that's going to disappoint people that want to see Daniel Bryan against Seth Rollins. And, I mean, my God, could they have a hell of a match. I just don't know that I would bypass Brock Lesnar, you know, and Daniel Bryan. I want to see that match more than I want to see Rollins and Bryan, which I think we're guaranteed to see for, you know, assuming both guys hold up health-wise, we're guaranteed to see that match many, many times in the future.
But Brian Lesnar's the match, and I think they're foolish if they don't go there. But that's all I'm going to say for tonight, Jason. Have a good week.
Hey, thank you. Great to hear from you again. 773-897-6321 is the number to call and join us tonight. And I mentioned the live cast. Tuesdays, 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern Time, I am on Wade Keller's PW Torch live cast. We take calls, very similar format to this show. And so if you're listening to this on delay and you're like, man, I ain't staying up that late on a Monday, it's a work night, I got to be up. I get it. Call into that show instead. We'd love to hear from you there. We're on, it's at pwtorchlivecast.com, 4:30 Central start time, 5:30 Eastern, and we take calls for an hour, 90 minutes, just depends on the day kind of a deal. Call in early, get yourself in line for that show. We tend to, especially if Raw is a loaded show, we get a lot of phone calls for that one as well. But we'd love to hear from you, and it's very similar format, as I said, and if you can't listen live, there definitely you can listen to it on replay as well. But we'd love to hear from you at pwtorchlivecast.com on Tuesdays, 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern. I am a weekly guest on Wade's show. Let's keep going through these phone calls. I did 2-7 now. I'm just kind of losing my place. I mentioned it's getting late. I'm not used to this. This is only week two. Granted, I'm up this late, but I don't have to like be on the air this late. I can do like I record audio for the members, do the raw audio review for members when I'm not doing the live show, and then it's easy. Like I say something stupid, just hit pause and chill out for a second and maybe delete it, maybe just leave it in and make fun of myself. But I'm not live on the air. That's going to take some getting used to at this hour. Let's go to 417. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
This is Antoine. I'm from Louisiana.
Hey, Antoine. I'm getting a bunch of... Well, now I'm not. Now you sound good. We were getting some feedback there, but it's sounding a little better. What's on your mind?
Oh, man. This was actually, I think one of the bad weeks starting off for WWE. Judging because first, all over the internet, there was a lot of steam for Darren coming out of the closet and then getting hurt. And now coming back, there's the big comeback video, and they haven't done anything with him yet. That's just terrible, terrible branding by WWE in the first place.
Give it time. I know it sounds crazy when they have all these hours of television that they produce every week, but here's what I'm hoping is happening is that, okay, yeah, they do have plans for him, but they want to make sure that they get it right, and there's a lot of stuff going on right now, and rather than just add to the filler and not bring him in with no direction, they want to take their time and do it right. Probably wishful thinking, but hey, I can dream, right?
That's a good point. Another point about today's show was that Brock Lesnar looked like for the first time since his first WWE return back, whenever him and Cena had that historical match at Extreme Rules, he didn't look like he was going to get put over.
He did or didn't? I'm sorry.
He didn't at all. I mean, he looked like, because Cena too, I mean, for the first time in Cena's career, he looks like he's going to put over Seth Rollins in a big way, in a big match. That actually means something because the WWE title's back in the picture.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to read too much into it. Tonight was Seth Rollins' night, clearly, and I think it needed to be to make him feel like he wasn't just the weak link in this match. You know, he got to hit curb stomps on both guys, and I think that really needed to happen. But John Cena put Brock Lesnar through the table with the attitude adjustment before Seth Rollins got to him. And, I get it. You got to do something to get Brock in that position. But it could have been the same thing that John Cena did. So, you know, I don't want to read too much into it, but it wasn't like Brock had a whole lot of offense out there tonight, was it?
No, it didn't at all. I mean, to be honest, I figured that the show would have, and the triple threat match for that matter, would have had more meaning because Rollins kind of glanced down there at the Money in the Bank briefcase, and if he would have cashed in, I think that because a lot of people are seeing this as, oh, it's going to be Lesnar and Reigns at WrestleMania, or Lesnar and Bryan. But I think if Rollins would have kind of threw in that Money in the Bank briefcase today, then maybe it would add a little bit more flair to it, and especially going into WWE's debut of Fastlane in just a few weeks' time. That really didn't make too much sense to me that they set him up for that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. With Rollins, I missed him making a fuss over the briefcase. You know, sometimes I miss things with the laptop in front of me trying to do live coverage. So it sounds like that's something I missed. Did you want him to, like, cash in successfully tonight? Is that what you're saying, or just do more with it?
That's a difficult thing because we've seen in the past that WWE puts the title on a young guy, and that doesn't always go over well with the fans. Of course, they're trying to do it with Roman Reigns now, but that's what, in my opinion, is going to be another Bautista scenario, if you know what I mean. But I don't know if he should have won it, but I definitely think he needs to get that briefcase off of him because it's holding him back, to be honest with you.
Well, now keep in mind that coming up at the Royal Rumble, if he could lose the match and turn around and cash in and win, you know. And for that matter, WrestleMania, the scenario I threw out earlier, whether it's Brock or Daniel Bryan winning that match at WrestleMania 31, all of a sudden, let's say Bryan, just looks like it's going to be a repeat WrestleMania. There's Seth Rollins to cash in and take the title, or even the next night. You know, you give people the happy ending at WrestleMania, and then the big crowd that tunes in for Raw the next night, it's Rollins cashing in there. So I don't think it's like – I think there were times where that briefcase felt like it was completely useless, especially when Brock was never on TV. But right now, I think it's a valuable tool for them.
Yeah. That's a very good point. Another point I wanted to bring in is let's get some TNA in the show. I'm not a big TNA guy, but I am a big Kurt Angle guy. And I don't understand exactly why the WWE made a big fuss about not wanting Kurt Angle to have that part-time contract, but they wanted Brock Lesnar, who, in no offense, Lesnar is an amazing athlete, but I don't think he's on the caliber of Kurt Angle's popularity or ever will be, even with the UFC background and things like that.
We'll have to agree to disagree on that one because I do think Brock Lesnar is box office. You know, I mean, that Kurt Angle, even in his best WWE days, wasn't big box office. He was a big player in that company, but it wasn't, and this is something Vince McMahon used to tell people, was that, you know, how many people paid to see Kurt Angle back in those days, you know, exclusively at the house shows. So he was a big player on the show, but he was never considered a huge draw. Where Brock Lesnar has, you know, sold, he's headlined WrestleMania, obviously. He's done headline major UFC shows. And so when it comes to that, I get it. And then the other part you have to keep in mind, you know, different points in their lives, Kurt Angle more broken down. Who knows if he could pass the medical testing to get into WWE. And if you're WWE and you haven't been around him, and the last update you heard, whether it was factual or it was just or it was BS, as Angle implied, but there was a story about, you know, people feeling like he was more than just tired on a flight that some WWE personnel were on. They went through hell with Kurt Angle towards the end of his run there. And so maybe they're still leery of some of that. You know, he went through rehab. He's done. In fact, he went through WWE-sponsored rehab. But so, you know, they're probably going to have some indication. Doesn't mean that was a deciding factor, but it may have been, where they just didn't want to run the risk of doing business with Kurt Angle and having, you know, more issues along those lines.
That's a very good point. I mean, I know there was always issues between Kurt and Vince McMahon, but then again, who doesn't have issues with Vince McMahon?
Well, this one, I don't know. I mean, you can blame Vince for the schedule and maybe looking the other way at different times, but when it comes to Kurt's substance abuse issues over the years, the well-chronicled substance abuse issues, I mean, you know, it's can you blame Vince for going, eh, I don't know, or Triple H in this case, saying, I just don't know that I want to run the risk again. You know, that's what it comes down to. I don't think it's like a personal issue between Vince McMahon and Kurt Angle as much as it would be, again, just speculating here, maybe some concern about that.
Okay, I got three predictions for you for 2015. You know, it's a new year.
Give it to me quick.
Like that. First, I think Ric Flair goes into the TNA Hall of Fame. Three Hall of Fame rings. I mean, that's impressive. That's very impressive. I think that happens whenever, you know, around with TNA's new schedule. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I think it happens in 2015. The second one is a little bit more out there, but I think that it's the year of Seth Rollins. I mean, I know you don't want to go into that, but I think Seth Rollins wins at least three WWE championships this year. And
hey, I'd like to see it just be one, and he holds it for a long time, but yeah, that's not a bad one at all.
You know, with WWE booking this time, unless you're a big guy, you're not really going to hold it for very long is what it seems like. I'm not saying that's how it is, but... And
no, you're right.
He
could be halfway to Cena by the year's end.
And then the third one is I don't see Roman Reigns really working out. I think that he has tremendous potential, but the way that WWE, like I said, is shoving him down people's throats, I could see him burn out before even Night of Champions.
All right. Well, there are Antoine's three big predictions. Antoine, if you were right about any of them, you can call back before that, of course, but feel free to rub our noses in it, especially if there's anybody out there that maybe in the chat room or if you hear from any of your friends going, oh, come on, and you happen to be right, just always forget the ones you're wrong on and just drive home those ones you're right on. Really just rub their noses in it. Let's go to 262. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Mark.
You always break up. It was Wisconsin, and I forgot your first name. Mark?
Yeah, Mark. Yeah, sorry. I was getting it off speakerphone when you went to me.
Oh, cool,
yeah,
man. What's going on?
Hall of Fame name that could be the new, you know, polarizing, you know, the guy that everybody in the internet wants. Owen Hart.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's a little trickier. It just because, you know, does his wife and children,
yeah,
do they want him to go in? That's a little bit tricky. So I'm sympathetic when it comes to WWE. If they want to put him in and Bret Hart wants to put him in, I'd still check with Martha and the children before, you know, I'd want them to agree. But, yeah, I mean, that could get some support, but I think people will be understanding. But go ahead.
Yeah, you mentioned Cena and Rusev earlier and how you didn't want that. And I feel the same way, but I kind of got a bit of a different reason. I think, you know, whenever Rusev loses, it should be like, you know, the moment where, like, you know, everybody in the crowd is like high-fiving, you know, waving flags and all that good stuff. You're never going to get a pure euphoric moment like that with John Cena and, you know, get like a pure baby face. And whoever it is, I don't know who it ends up being, but I think you need somebody who's going to get a pure baby face reaction.
How about Sami Zayn someday? Or, it's a WrestleMania moment for John Cena. It, like I said earlier, it makes sense this year. I just don't think it does long term. I don't think I'd go there. I wouldn't have John Cena be the guy. I'd rather see it be somebody that, you know, it is a stepping stone for someone. It's a big, meaningful win for someone, and maybe even for that WWE World Heavyweight Championship. You know, if you have the guy positioned as undefeated now, okay, yeah, you get your John Cena somewhere near the semi-main event moment at WrestleMania, and that's great for today, but what about future WrestleManias? I'd save it. That's just me, though.
Yeah. Let me throw out a conspiracy theory. I don't believe what I'm about to say, but I just kind of want to throw it out there and just, you know, see what you think.
That Dez Bryant caught the ball, clearly three steps equals catch in any rule book other than the NFL's? Sorry, go ahead.
Come on, there was 4 minutes left. Rodgers would have, you know, marched down the field easily. Like,
Oh, hey, Dave, don't get me wrong in that at all. Yeah, I've made that very clear. The Packers may have come back and won that game, and for all we know, he would have marched right down, but the Cowboys would have marched right down too. I mean, we'll never know. I'm not saying that's why the Packers won that game. I'm not taking anything away from the Packers. They're a hell of a team. I'm just saying that's a BS call, but that's not why we're here. I'm sorry.
I love it. So why I think Daniel Bryan may not – why Daniel Bryan won't win the Royal Rumble. So if they put, you know, if he's facing, and won't face Brock for that matter, if he faces Brock, you know, the obvious comparison will be made between Paul Heyman's mic work and Triple H and Stephanie's mic work from last year. And Triple H and Stephanie are not going to hold up well in that comparison because, you know, there won't be any little digs at the internet fans. There won't be any little digs at CM Punk. It'll, you know, he's going to build Bryan up. You know, Paul Heyman, you know, he's old school. He believes that the best way to build his own guy up is to make the other guy look great. So, just throwing that out there as a conspiracy theory as to why Bryan's not going to face Brock this year.
Okay, well, you know, with Paul Heyman tonight, I thought one of the nice things he did during his promo time the first time around was kind of plant the seed of possibility when he didn't badmouth Seth Rollins. He had jabs at Cena, but he didn't at Rollins, and it worked on multiple levels because he was setting him up for the idea that hey, we get together and we take out Cena, that sort of thing. But it was also, you know, I think fantasy booking. I think we've all thought about it. What if Heyman screws Lesnar on his way out? And then he aligns himself with Seth Rollins. I think the big thing to watch there, how long are the Authority around? Because I think that's their guy. I don't know that they just want to hand him off to Paul Heyman, you know, as far as the storylines are concerned. And I'm not saying from a storyline sense. I'm saying, like, legitimately, if they want to. I think Rollins has been so closely associated with them that I just don't know that it'll happen. But I think it would be an interesting scenario, one that would, I mean, we saw how, even though Rollins may not need the mouthpiece, neither did CM Punk, and it worked out pretty damn well for Paul Heyman and CM Punk when they were together.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing about that is, you know, if they go to, you know, Rollins, you know, he screws over Lesnar and Rollins with the title. Like, where does the Royal Rumble winner fit it into that equation? Then the money matches, you know, Rollins versus Lesnar.
No, but you can do it at WrestleMania on Brock's last night, and then Brock, you know, if it's his last night. I have no idea.
But I'm saying, where does the Royal Rumble winner fit into that equation?
Oh, as far as, well, he doesn't have to. I mean, it could just, Brock beats the Royal Rumble winner, or, you know, something along those lines. It doesn't have to be Heyman sabotaging Brock Lesnar. It could be Brock, you know, Brock is gone, and then the next night, Heyman aligns himself with, let's say Daniel Bryan beats Lesnar, and Heyman's doing the, you know, woe is me routine, and then by the end of the night, he's aligned himself with Seth Rollins, some diabolical plan, and Seth Rollins cashes in successfully the night after WrestleMania.
Okay.
There's a lot of ways you can do it.
Gotcha. One last thing. What's up with Randy Orton? Like, where is he?
You know, I mentioned that last week. I screwed up, and he actually had... I couldn't remember last week either who reported. I still don't know, or I would be happy to give them credit, but it has been reported that he had a deviated septum and required surgery. It's not anything that's going to keep him out of action long term. I just wonder at this point, you know, they may be looking at it, we'll bring him back for the go-home show and create some buzz there, or maybe they bring him back at the Rumble. You know, hell, it could be the night after the Rumble, but I think we'll be seeing Randy Orton again probably sometime this month.
Okay. Let the other callers get to it. Have a good night.
All right. Hey, man, thanks for calling. And good luck, as much as it pains me. Well, it doesn't pain me to say that because I'm not a big Seahawks guy either. It's not even the Seahawks team. It's Pete Carroll. And he's a fellow Minnesotan, but that man just bailed on USC after getting in all sorts of trouble and, oh, they're catching up to me, got to go, and I'm going to go win a Super Bowl. That man bothers me. Sorry, Seahawks fans. Wow, I'm just, like, pissing off fans in Wisconsin. Dallas people love me right now. I don't know if Detroit did. I should just shut up about the NFL, especially when things are this heated. And inevitably I'll hear from someone, oh, your Vikings suck. Well, no kidding. Anyway, 215, you're up next. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason, this is Danny from Cheltenham. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Danny. What's on your mind?
My mind is Ascension gives me douche chills. So does the the Reigns. I just hate how Roman Reigns is being presented.
Like, go ahead.
Promo ability sucks. And I just don't get why they just shut him up. Shut him up.
I think they're doing more harm than good, and I think they're almost. I don't think Big Show's a good opponent for him. I get it on paper, like it's the stepping stone, but Big Show bores me. And so much of it is they've turned him 20 some times, and I'm sick and tired of it. And I just don't think it's a good opponent for him, and especially when he has to trade wins and losses a lot of times, and then he's out there having a long match tonight again. I just think that's what makes me wonder if they have just kind of called an audible here, because if you're going all the way with Reigns, people might accuse you of like, oh, they're making it obvious, or they're shoving him down your throat. I'd be as quick and as effective as I could with him, because that's what brought him to the dance.
I agree with you, and I actually have a scenario for the Royal Rumble. I'm actually attending the Rumble this year. I'm from Philly, so I had kind of tickets. My scenario is Cena beats Brock in the center of the ring, and then Rollins curb stomps him. 1, 2, 3, Rollins wins the belt. Rollins goes to WrestleMania. Bryan wins the Rumble. Bryan versus Rollins at the top. You could still do Reigns versus Lesnar. Have the storyline of Lesnar leaving. This is his final swan song. And have this big golden boy beat him. And you could set up Cena Rusev in the process. Have Rusev come out and beat up Cena to sell the match, basically. And there's your top three matches at WrestleMania.
I still, as much as I look forward to seeing Rollins and Bryan wrestling again, that would not be my WrestleMania main event. They've got a couple of months to sway me if that's the direction they decide to go in, but I just wouldn't do it. I really think Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar is the biggest money match they have right now. I don't know that they see it that way, but that's me. And by the way, let me back up. You mentioned Rusev. How can I say Sami Zayn? It's Rusev. He's the Russian by way of Bulgaria. A Canadian can't do it, because I was also thinking, well, what about Finn Balor? But Vince and his Irish love. He might go with that before he'd go with the Canadian beating Rusev, but it's going to have to be some all-American type, I would think, just knowing the way Vince's mind works. But anyway,
did you have
more for us tonight?
No. Thank you, Jason.
Hey, man, great to hear from you. Have a blast at the Rumble. I hope to hear from you before then, and you definitely need to call in the night after the Rumble and let me know. I have never been to a WrestleMania, usually because I'm working that weekend, and so it just hasn't worked out. That one, I don't have as much trouble just because there's so much work going on here at .NET World Headquarters, a.k.a. my home, I'm so busy I'm not even thinking, like, I do think, like, even if I was there, I'd just be sitting in a hotel working. The Rumble is the one that, I'd love to see the Rumble in person. I'm jealous. I hope you have a good time at that show. 305, you were up next. We're going to knock you guys down to one, maybe two calls if you make them quick, because we still have a couple more people on hold and 12 minutes and 30 seconds to go. 305, who are you? Where are you calling from?
What's going on, DJ from Miami?
Hey, DJ, what's up?
I got two things. The first thing is that, let me ask you a question. Does Dolph have the belt right now? Because if he had the belt and he got fired, don't you think they should strip him of the belt?
No, remember Bad News Barrett won it? They did such a great job of
chronicling the new champion last
on Raw this week.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure, because I couldn't remember if on SmackDown he won it back or not. The second thing is, I was thinking totally with Reigns. I mean, with I was thinking that maybe Bryan goes in, wins the Rumble. You know, Brock's leaving, so he's going to win the belt. And I think that, you know, I think we should. I think Roman Reigns should be heel. I think he should come out there, spear, you know, Bryan, and then be like, oh, this is the big guy on the block now. You know what I mean? And I think he should totally go heel and I think he should give him a mouthpiece. And then I think with that, he'll totally go up the ladder.
All right, very cool. I'll address that while I put you back on hold here. I think Reigns, if they really do want to have him in the main event slot, yeah, I think you got to go heel with him. I just think there's still, if they do it right, I think there can still be money in this guy as a babyface, so I wouldn't go there just yet. I wouldn't do it. I would take my time. I just pull back. I don't think there's anything wrong with going, you know what, yeah, that was the plan, but it's we're not ready for this. Why shoehorn him in there? Why not pull back and see if we can still make this work long term? All the things that they've liked about him may still be present. I think they need to admit to themselves that it's a little, you know, some of it's his fault, some of it's a lot of it's their fault. I think the best thing that ever could have happened to that guy was the fact that he was injured and he was away from television, and they had a chance to take, you know, both just to take a breath and evaluate, okay, when he comes back, how do we make the biggest splash with him? And they failed. But going back to DJ's other point real quickly, I mean, my God, DJ follows wrestling closely. He calls this show. He calls the live cast. And he didn't know that Bad News Barrett won that championship last week. And I'm not saying that to mock DJ. I'm saying that to mock WWE. It's a secondary title change on last week's Raw, and it's easy to forget. Until he brought it up, I wasn't even thinking of it either. You know, that Bad News Barrett won that championship, and yeah, he's had a non-title loss already. I mean, that should be something that they're making a big fuss on, fuss over on Raw this week, is that new Intercontinental Champion Bad News Barrett. And I think they've announced that he's going to face Sin Cara on Thursday's WWE SmackDown show. So if nothing else, you know, recap him winning, do something, let him cut a promo hyping that match, and no, nothing. It's just like, oh, everyone must have saw it last week. Why address it this week? So strange. 781, you're up next. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Andrew from Boston.
What's up, Andrew?
So I'm calling. I wanted to find out a way to get Daniel Bryan versus Brock. And so I assume Brock is leaving. And I was thinking that they're probably not going to try to put the title on Daniel because we know how they, you know, feel about him. So I was thinking that Cena wins at the Rumble, and somehow you get Daniel versus Brock as an under match, under the main event. What do you think of that?
It can be done. I believe strongly the money match is those two with the title on the line. But, you know, if they're just hell-bent on going in a different direction, I don't think it'll make as much money as that match would, but I'd still like to see the match. So, that would be the consolation prize.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I just have no faith in Vince McMahon's booking. He just, it's bad at that right now. You know, I haven't actually watched for a few months, and I've only been back for the last 3 weeks, and it's shockingly bad.
It really is. Anything
just,
else, Andrew?
I'm just trying to find any way. Yeah, no, that was it.
Cool, man. I'm with you. I really want to see that match. And, boy, based on Daniel Bryan's interviews, current and past, it sure sounds like he wants to see that match, too. Two callers left, and we're going to call it a night. 347 is up next, 678 after that. And obviously we'll be back at the same time next week, ProWrestling.net Live. I am Jason Powell. And one more time, join me on and Wade Keller, 4:30 Central, 5:30 Eastern at PWTorchLivecast.com on Tuesdays. We do that show, and we'd love to hear from you there. But let's go to 347. You've been waiting a while. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
This is Chris from New York.
Yo, Chris, what's up?
I have two questions. The first one is about Randy Savage in the Hall of Fame. Even though Vince McMahon doesn't really care for the wrestling media and the hardcore fans, do you think the reason why he put him in the Hall of Fame is because he felt that with Randy Savage being deceased, there is nothing really for him to hold a grudge against, and he can make some money off the fact that, you know, he looks like a good guy putting him in, and it doesn't really cost him anything because with Randy being deceased, he doesn't really have to face him in the Hall of Fame. And the second question is about the world titles. Do you think that at some point, with SmackDown being reemerging as a equal brand to Raw, at some point they will bring back another world title? Because from a storyline standpoint, it will really solve their problems because you can have multiple top stars, Daniel Bryan, John Cena, Randy Orton, and you don't have to feel constricted storyline-wise when you only have one title, which was the main reason they had so much difficulty last year with Batista and Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan fighting over one title.
All right, good questions. We'll start with Savage. Yeah, I don't know what the inner circle thought is on Randy Savage, but I do think when push comes to shove, it's money. And, you know, anytime they have someone there, maybe to get people off their backs about it too. But I think, you know, they managed to work something out clearly with Lanny Poffo. And so the family's okay with it. They can make some money on it. They get people to leave him alone. I mean, Vince did write, or someone in his that works for Vince and signed Vince's name, did the I don't know what you'd call it, some kind of memorial for, I think it was Time Magazine, when Randy Savage died. So it's not like it's just been a completely taboo topic with Vince. It's one of those where I just kind of assumed someday it was going to happen, but I wasn't quite sure because it took this long. There's part of me that's surprised it didn't happen sooner once Randy Savage passed away. But I'm curious to see how they handle it. Is it just Lanny there? Is there other, you know, other representation? Randy's late wife, how does that work? We'll see. Your other question, as far as bringing, you know, splitting up the championship again, my God, I hope not. You know, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, Chris, if they did, because I think they see – I always saw the value in having two titles defended on those shows. And especially if Brock Lesnar's sticking around, then maybe you really want to consider that. Let's see what they do with SmackDown. I mean, I know what they're saying right now about the idea that, you know, I don't know if it's so much equal, but they really want to make SmackDown feel important again. And let's see where they're at, you know, with this couple months down the road. You know, are they really going to go balls to the wall with this, or is this going to be one of those things that they talk a good game now, and then they start to lose interest as time goes on? Do we get a draft? You know, how do they do these things? That's definitely a story to watch. And on to, and by the way, speaking of that, unless 347 is going to do it, and we got a couple other people on the line, I don't know if we'll get to you. I can't promise you anything. 347, I'm guaranteeing you we'll get to you. But unless this is 347 calling about this, no talk about the new broadcast team. I mean, we haven't heard the SmackDown version together just yet. But, I mean, we did a little bit. We got a preview of it last week with Booker filling in for Jerry Lawler. But that's the permanent Raw broadcast team. I thought we might get some comment on that tonight from people. But apparently... just status quo, or maybe there's, you know, bigger fish to fry as far as people are concerned about that Raw broadcast team. Let's see what's on 347's mind. Who are you? Where are you calling from? Oh, I'm sorry, that was Chris. Let me go to 678. That's who I meant to go to. 678, you're up next. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hey, Hello? Who's this? Are you there?
This is Ryan D. Hello?
What's going on?
This is Ryan D from Atlanta, Georgia, from last week.
Cool, man. What's up?
Now, I want to talk about this week's episode of Raw. I mean,
you got to make
like
it quick, man. We're down to just a few minutes here.
Yeah, I know. It's like looking at last week, but much worse, sir, than I thought it was. Now, if I had to see between the Authority or someone else hosting a hosting Raw, I think I want someone else running Raw. I mean, Jason David Frank will run the show better than the Authority right now.
Yeah, you'll get no argument from me there. I'm sorry I had to cut you off quickly, but we are like down to a couple minutes. We have one more caller. My advice to you, YD, I don't know if I did that to you last week. You're calling in really late on us. If you call in a little bit earlier, I'll be happy to spend a little more time chatting with you and getting your perspective on WWE Raw. The Authority thing is flat, no doubt about it. It feels like rerun material, and I wish they would... Well, quite frankly, go away. I just don't want to see this anymore, and I don't want to see all the repeat scenarios that it creates. Final caller of the night will be 917. Who are you? Where are you calling from?
Corey from New York.
Hi, Corey. How are you?
Good. Just a quick question. It's been a week since Wrestle Kingdom 9, and I was just wondering, on your site in particular, or what you heard, has there been a continued interest in New Japan, or has the popularity of the event, you know, things died off and went back down to normal? Do you have any take on that? I know you only have a moment, but I was wondering what's been the buzz now that it's a week later?
Yeah, I think there's still, for people who saw the show, it does feel like there's still interest in it, and I think Access TV is hoping that. I mentioned at the top of the show I had Josh Barnett join me this afternoon for an interview that will be available in audio form tomorrow, and on Tuesday, I should say, just in case people are listening to this on delay, and I'm kind of curious to see what type of numbers that does. I'm not that it's going to be the perfect barometer, but he is the color commentator for that Access show that's going to air on Friday nights, New Japan Pro Wrestling, and so, yeah, I do sense that there's still, we may not have heard it on the show, but I do get some emails, and there's still some playing the forum about it. Yeah, I mean, it's not the big buzz we had at this time last week, but I think that pay-per-view, more than anything, I think New Japan left an impression on people who were new to it. That's kind of been my take on it, Corey.
Perfect. Well, I hear the countdown, so like always, thanks for having us on a Monday night, and speak to you most likely next week.
All right, sounds great, Corey. Nice to hear from you. It's been a while. That is going to do it for tonight. So, yeah, I mean, as far as my thoughts on the Raw broadcast team, well, they still stink, but a lot of that is just the way they're produced. And I like the Raw pre-show team. I thought Corey Graves was a nice addition there and got a little more real talk than we were getting from, oh, yeah, shucky ducky, quack, quack, moment of the week. But at least that hasn't carried over to Raw. But I just think that WWE commentary is it's nice to see them trying to do something. I don't know that they have the answers for it, unfortunately. But thank you, everybody, for listening tonight. I really appreciate it. We'll do this again next Monday. Until then, take care.